About finding work here?
Well, about how are people? How are well? I was really asking you. I guess have you been homeless in Santa Cruz at all?
Yes, I have. Actually, let's just cut right to the chase.
Cut to the chase and move closer to the mic.
Okay. As a foreigner, I don't know if it's a a good or bad thing, because I had a terrible experience happen to me, something I never thought would ever happen to me. All my life, I always thought homeless people were people who had done something wrong in society and deserve, you know, and actually, like, what, dirty and scary, and you didn't, like, make eye contact with them. You know, what we call parking boys, where I'm from.
Did they teach you that in Kenya, for heaven's sake?
No, all over the, you know, live television. The world kind of has the same. I mean, people are on the street and they're homeless. They're not considered quite the same as your average citizen. And that's just something I never thought would ever happen. And I was homeless for about a month here in Santa Cruz, living on the street, but kind of ward of the state, you know, bus to shelters in the evening, fed, you know, just the whole, going through the whole system. And it was a very eye-opening experience for me. And gave me a chance to actually see a part of the underbelly, as you call it, of first world or Western society. And though there are a lot of good, you know, I met a lot of good people who, for one reason or the other, have been disenfranchised by society. Very interesting people. And but all in all, my general take on it was it's a sad and dehumanizing condition, and it was a big surprise for me, coming from a third world country. I had no idea that this situation was so prevalent in, you know, the wealthiest nation on earth.
Now you are how long have you been in the U.S.?
On and off for the last 15 years.
And how long were you in Kenya?
I was in Kenya for 21 years before.
And in Kenya, were you in one of the major cities, or were you in a rural area?
Well, I grew up in the capital, in Nairobi. But, you know, my family, we also had extended family out in the rural area, so I got to see both sides of the equation.
And how, what's the homeless situation like in Nairobi?
Very dire. We don't have a social system that is as organized, that caters to caters to that sector of the society. how shall I put this? And there's so many orphans and so many poor, you know, just poor people who don't have a place to live. They all flock to the city, as you well know. And, you know, with the economy the way it is in many African countries, and with illnesses and war that are ravaging the entire area, you can imagine how many orphans are in the streets. You know, we don't have a system anywhere similar to this.
You from a middle class family or upper class, lower class?
I'm from a middle class family.
What did your father and mother do?
My mother was a police officer for about 36 years.
A cop's daughter in the studio, boy.
Yes.
And your mom and your dad?
My father is a chemist by profession, but has dabbled in politics and business.
And your mom and dad grew up under colonialism, right?
Yes. Yes, yes.
And they were what? They were part of the class that cooperated with the British, or were they? Because Kenya was a British colony until the mid-50s, right?
Mm-hmm.
Or actually, it might have even been later.
Actually, it was the early '60s that we got our independence.
But the Mau Mau movement in Kenya happened in the '50s.
That's right.
Now, was your father a leader in the Mau Mau movement, perhaps?
I don't know that he was directly involved, mm-hmm, on that level. By the time we got independence, it was a gradual process. It's not like we fought and, you know, and it was a gradual process of handing over government, that sort of a thing. So by the time, in my recollection of things, and what I heard about that time, It was after we had our guerrilla movement and the Mau Mau and that sort of a thing. Then after that came a time, you know, of peace and negotiation, and then power was handed over gradually. Kenya is one of the most peaceful countries in the world. We've never had any kind of conflict with a neighbor, you know, fight war with neighboring countries, really.
Wasn't Kenyatta, though, accused of cracking down on his political opponents and things of that sort? He ran a one-party state for a while there, right?
Yes, but doesn't everybody crack down on their political opponents? Isn't
that, well, it's traditional. Taking its cue from Führer, well, was it, Eisenhower at the time, now yes. Bush. I never crack down on my political opponents. Let's put it that way. I crack up sometimes.
But, yes.
and crack other people up. So you were homeless here for a month.
Mm-hmm. On and off.
Were you using the homeless service center?
Sleeping secretly
on the streets?
On and off, because I'm here to play music, and so sometimes the facilities that are offered for us for accommodation are not available after a certain time. So if I went out to play or listen to music, I would have to sleep on the streets, literally on the concrete.
And how were you treated by the community generally, police and other homeless people?
Well, I didn't personally experience any negative contact with the authorities on that level, but I have heard numerous stories. In fact, just last night I was talking to a friend of mine who, you know, has been living in his motorhome for a few years. And he was telling me these horror stories about being woken up at all times of night.
Not in Santa Cruz. Come.
You would be surprised. With all these city ordinances and that sort of a thing. And the poor man is sleep deprived and having all sorts of problems. And he's not the only one. And it seems if you're homeless, if you're not housed in official shelter here, you can sleep during the day. But in the night, you're supposed to stay up. So because there are no facilities outside camping or park where they can go and
it's and kind
park.
Of a rigorous program of exercise. You know, homeless people don't get enough exercise. Therefore, if you walk around during the night, you become more healthy.
Well, you know, I don't want to joke about it, but he dropped that. You know, it's like we are creating a almost vampiric society where people cannot sleep at night for fear of being woken up by police. When one is, you know, and just a whole trauma, mental. And
let me take the position of Michael Rotkin, our vice mayor. Isn't it true that Nairobi would have similar, they don't allow homeless people to sleep anywhere and everywhere in Nairobi, right?
No, but when it's all said and done, I don't know if there's a good way. I sometimes believe that you're slightly over-policed here.
Slightly over-policed? How could you say that?
Well, I just find that certain civil and you know societal codes are there's too much attention paid. I feel that there's the priorities are not set right. I can't believe how we can pay, how the city can pay to have a person go and knock on homeless people's doors in the night, tell them to move in 20 minutes. You know, like it's some kind of wake up a valet service. Surely there's other places where they can be used to better benefit, to make other neighborhoods safe and park outside maybe the neighborhood rowdy.
You don't want these creepy homeless people in their vehicles sleeping in your neighborhood, do you?
I don't find them creepy. A lot of them are my friends and the people just like you and I who for many different reasons in their lives do not have nobody can afford to live out here.
So you've gotten into a living situation recently, and you say you work as a musician?
Well, right now I'm doing gardening and getting and doing work where I can find it to try and make a living. But ideally, I would like to be able to perform musically at some time in the future.
What do you play?
I'm a percussionist. I play the drums.
Mm-hmm. Have you done any drumming downtown?
Yes, here and there.
Have you been rewarded for your drumming?
In what sense? Appreciation?
Well, suitable financial donations?
Absolutely not. That's why I'm a starving musician.
I see. Now, what about the police? Have you gotten any of their attention?
No, for some reason they seem to be, maybe helping a minority on some level. There's that reverse thing going on there. They seem to, and I hope I'm not inviting the wrath here, but they've been, you know, I try to be a good citizen, so they have tried to, you know, not, you know, we haven't had any clashes so far.
So how frequently do you play drums downtown?
I play drums all the time, as often as I can.
And where do you usually play?
I play at home, and I'm hoping to maybe...
You're not out on the streets playing drums.
Yes, I have been out on the streets playing drums. Okay, in fact, I might play this afternoon.
Now, where is there a standard spot where people can come and hear you?
Not officially, but I will be going up to a friend of mine mentioned there's a drumming circle of sorts out by the beach this afternoon.
Aha! Uh-huh. What beach is that?
The one by Lighthouse, I believe. That some people get together there and drum once in a while.
Uh-huh.
So I might just go by there and see what's going on.
Sounds cool to me. Now, you're also interested in getting a show on free radio.
Yes, I am.
And are you going to try to drum up? What are you going to do? What are you going to be doing? You're doing some drumming in the studio? What's going on here?
Oh, yes. We're going to have some music. I'm interested in worldwide music and, primarily socially conscious music. music that makes us think, you know, not necessarily anything depressing or, you know, the sky is falling sort of thing, but, you know, things that makes us more conscious socially and aware of our of ourselves and each other and our role here. And of course, maybe have other musicians or have other people who have similar ideas.
Do some interviews, play some, kind of give them exposure.
Exactly.
Local performers.
Exactly. Not necessarily social comment.
Right.
You know, maybe just open our minds more to worldwide music and maybe get some information on the cultures where this music comes from and try to expand our horizons a little and maybe bring up a little bit of awareness of how we, the closeness of everybody on the earth and how connected we are.
You're here. Mm. Well, we've been listening to Joy Mukwanjero, and we're out of time, as usual. Joy, thank you, and I would urge the Stalinist Central Committee at Free Radio to give this woman appropriate. What we'll do is, I guess, at some point we'll invite you in to invite some guests, and you can hear you interviewing them.
Okay, I'd like to do that.
Okay.
Yeah.
And a couple of quick updates here. CBS News reported rebels fired a rocket at a government building in northern Iraq on Saturday, killing 2 civilians and wounding 14 others. The attack brought to 21 the number of people confirmed killed in 2 days of explosions and shootings across the country. The rocket launcher was hidden inside a wooden cart that was wheeled up to a bomb blast wall surrounding the 3-story main government building in the northern city of Mosul, Police Sergeant Yassim Mohammed said. The rocket struck the top of the wall before falling into the building's courtyard and exploding. The assailants fled the area. The reason I'm reading this is not because it's anything new, but notice the escalation of violence. Then look on the front page of every major Sunday paper, and you will find not a word about Iraq on the front page, which I find interesting. Now, it's true that most of my show isn't about Iraq. Love to see vigils out there. I supported the vigil against 2 wars, the war on the poor in Santa Cruz and the war against the Iraqis opposing those wars. And indeed, I was at the protest last Saturday, a week ago Saturday. But we obviously protesting once every 6 months is not going to do it. Even once a week at the Peace Friday is not going to do it. And I don't know what is going to do it, but we got to do it. We've got to get our asses out of Iraq, and looks like Kerry is not going to do it either, and I don't think Kucinich has a very good plan, but the more we press these people, the more chance there is of doing something. I'm at the end of my time. In fact, I'm over my time, so let me kind of sum up here. Coming up on Thursday, when the show comes back between 6 and 8 in the evening, I'm going to hopefully be playing, and this is always a crapshoot because I get stuff that comes up in the intervening days that is of more interest and that is more contemporary and more immediate. But you may remember Michael Newdow is the man challenging the under God words in the Pledge of Allegiance. There's been interesting articles out about him when he argued his case before the Supreme Court. We interviewed Paul Sanford, his attorney, local attorney, who's also defended homeless people. And I have some tape from him in January, from Newdow in January, talking about his situation when he did a mock discussion before the Monterey School of Law, I think it's called. So that may be happening. I'm going to be playing some incidents that have happened on the street, of course, more of that. We will be attempting to determine just exactly what happened to the public defender who was supposed to show up today but didn't. And we'll be getting a complete rundown on the scathing meeting between Mike Rodkin, Andrea Tischler, and Anita Henry, if it ever happens. So we'll see if that actually comes about. Maybe we can get Mike and Valerie Corral to show their pusses on the air, or at least speak out on these issues and answer some of the concerns that a lot of people have, and not just your occasional malcontent, but I would say a wide variety of people in the medical marijuana community wonder just what the fuck is going on with the lack of medical marijuana accessibility. Joy, is there anything you want to say before we take off?
Yes, I'm very optimistic to see that there is this kind of free radio where people actually get a forum to express themselves without fear of censure. And this gives me great confidence in this country.
Oh, well, you can have confidence in some of the people in this country. I would say that that's the hope of the country. Well, if you want If you got more information that you want to pass on to me, to pass on to the community, I'm at 423 Huff, and I come to Huff meetings, as mentioned earlier in the show, every Wednesday at 8:30 in the morning at Baker Square, 1107 Ocean Street. I recommend further that you check out the Indie Media website, where I post articles, www.santacruz.indiemedia.org. And there's a new article on the move-along law for those who are interested in that situation. That's pretty much it for now. Let's go out on the songs of... Well, let's start with Carol Denny and end up with Mark Levy, if we can do that. Here's "The Rich Will Never Be Poor."
As certain as the sun will rise and politicians have lying eyes, as sure as suffering multiplies, the rich will never be poor. As certain as in life you learn, the rich have money and time to burn, the rich will counsel you, wait your turn, in heaven you'll get some more. As sure as poverty plagues the land, the rich will give you a helping hand, as soon as mountains return to sand and oceans leave the shore. Count on nothing in life so well, that if the rich go straight to hell, lots are something they buy and sell, they'll never enter the door. Clearly all that you need in life to be at peace in a world of strife, the company of a man or wife and lots of money in store. Life is simple and so complete, with faithful friends and some bread to eat, a solid roof and a room with heat and stocks and bonds galore. The rich will probably tell you nay, it's inner riches that really pay. The rich have always got lots to say as they watch their assets soar. Count on nothing in life so plain, the poor have water, the rich champagne. The market rises to this refrain: the rich will never be poor, the rich will never be poor. As sure as life is a strange affair in need of some robust repair, the rich don't actually have to care, the rich will never be poor. Maybe people are all the same, but the rich are playing a different game. You take your chances and take your aim, you'll never even the score. The rich can't help it if life's unfair, the richer people, they really care. They often mention it's hard to bear, they're burdened at their core. Some say no, but it's plain to see, the rich are different than you and me. The rich are different as they can be. The rich will never be poor. The rich will never be poor. The rich will never be poor. The rich will never be poor.
Well, me and my friends, we shop downtown, and sometimes we just hang around. But when we get tired and we want to sit, the cops say get up and move it. 'Cause there's no sitting in the city of Santa Cruz, with its redwood trees and its ocean views. It's the home of surfers and sight gurus, but there ain't no sitting in Santa Cruz. Now you better watch out where you set your tail, or you might spend 6 months sitting in jail. If you bum spare change, you might pay a fine, 'cause being poor is now a crime. No sitting in the city of Santa Cruz, with its redwood trees and its ocean views. It's the home of surfers and sock gurus, but there ain't no sitting in Santa Cruz. You're breaking the law if you try to sit, but we're not gonna stand for it. This sitting law didn't get my vote, so we're gonna sit down and rock the boat. No sitting in the city of Santa Cruz, with its redwood trees and its ocean views. It's the home of surfers and sock gurus, but there ain't no sitting in Santa Cruz. No sitting in the city of Santa Cruz, with its redwood trees and its ocean. It's the home of surfers and sock gurus, but there ain't no sitting in Santa Cruz. There ain't no sitting in Santa Cruz. There ain't no sitting.
All right, then. Fuck it.
Stays so bad, I can still hear them say it's a game, but don't forget your name, all that you came with, obligations to live just like your father did. More. I don't know how old we gotta grow before I'm allowed to see a soul. Why do birds cry to me? Why can't birds fly, you see? The old days, but I had to walk away. I miss the old days, but I had to walk away. They'll still remember to say it's a game, and I'm sure to forget your name, and that you came with here obligations, and I can't tell what side you're showing me. Always come back for more. I don't know how old we gotta grow. All I know about you is what I've been told. Why do birds cry to me? Why can't birds fly? I miss the old days, but I had to walk away. I miss the old days.